Good morning. I'd like to welcome each of you today as we have the privilege to gather together and give our praise and worship to our loving and wonderful Lord. As we gather together and take a look at the week ahead, we'd like to point out a few things that are happening during this week. We have our Wednesday meal at 6 o'clock, and the menu is in your bulletin, including chicken enchiladas and other great things there, all for $3, and we invite you to come out for that meal. And then after the meal, we have a Bible study in 1 John, and I'm enjoying that trek through that wonderful epistle. Also, we invite you to take part in the women's prayer group on Tuesday at 12:30, and also the Sunday school class offerings, the morning Bible fellowship times. They're mentioned for you in the bulletin as well. The sanctuary flowers this morning are given by Granville and Carol Dutton in loving memory of their son, Charles Dutton. And we encourage you to give remembrance and prayers for the Dutton family as they take this time to remember their son. On the tables as you came in this morning, you will find an envelope with your name on it. Those are the invitations to our anniversary in our church, which will be here on April 7th, and we're trying to get a good count of how many from our church will be attending the meal. We've also mailed out several invitations to those who formerly have been part of New Covenant, and if you are visiting here today and there's not an invitation out there, you are still going to be invited, and we'll make sure we get your name and get you an invitation, and we just are looking forward to a wonderful morning of celebration on April 7th, and then afterwards going to the Fellowship Hall, where we will have some time of sharing of memories, some photographs, and just a great meal together. So we encourage you to participate and be a part of that. To help us get ready for the anniversary celebration, we want to update our pictorial directory. We've had several come to our church after the directory was first put together. So if you'd like to have your picture taken by Maria Rios, she will be here with her camera next Sunday and the following Sunday. If you'd like to have your picture retaken because you are much more distinguished looking now than you were a couple of years ago, we can do that as well. If you'd like to have your picture taken because you've added to your family, like the Vars and others, we will let you have your picture taken for that as well. So the next two Sundays, put on your good clothes, put on your smile, and see Maria after our worship service. We encourage you to read through the other announcements that are in your bulletin. I am very glad that each of you are here this morning, and earlier this week, it was actually Monday evening, I began studying through Luke chapter 1 to get ready for this morning's service, and I woke up early on Tuesday morning, and I began looking at this encounter that we have with Elizabeth and Mary in a kind of a different framework than I've ever looked at it before, and the focus that we're going to be looking on is the importance of friends and how friends are important for us in our life. We'll see how that is found in Luke chapter 1. But I need to give you a warning. I know today is Super Bowl Sunday, and many of you are going to sit in front of the television for 3 or 4 hours watching a football game, okay? I understand that. There is a chance this morning that our worship service will go into overtime, okay? Because I woke up this morning and the sermon's been kind of wrestling and working and being formed and developed in my head throughout this entire week. And as I was up around 5 o'clock this morning and going over the sermon and coming to the application, God helped me see something new in how this can be applied to our life. So we get to around 12 o'clock and we get to around 12:05. Don't panic. I understand. Everything's in control. Sit back, relax, and allow God's word to make application to your life. If you are a type A person this morning and time is real important, take your watch off and put it in your purse or pocket. And everything will be fine with that. But I trust that God will truly bless you and enrich you this morning as we have the privilege of worshiping him. I invite you to come before our Lord, who is immortal, invisible. He's our God, only wise. Let's worship him today.
immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the ancient of days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as fire, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest divine. Thy justice like mountains, thy soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. To all my families, to all great and small, in all my happiness, good will I follow. We blossom and flourish as is our tree, and wither and perish, but great Father of glory, good Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all day in their sight. All praise we would render, oh help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth.
Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. We thank you, Lord, for the grace that you have poured out into our lives. We thank you today, Lord, for the knowledge that even though we come before you as sinners, that you have forgiven us. You have cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And you enjoy us coming before you in worship. Today, Lord, as we gather here, we pray that you might give us a new understanding of how you desire us to be your friend and how you work in our life as our friend and how we can be friends to one another in a spiritual way, in a holy way, in a way, Lord, that brings honor and glory to you. Guide us today, Lord, as we worship you. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to not only live among us, but die on the cross for our sin. And while he was here, he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. The scripture reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 1, verses 47 through 55. And here we find a psalm of Mary, a song that Mary sang out to God once she understood afresh what God was truly doing in her, what God would do through her, and what God would do through the Son that he had given to her. As we read this psalm in a responsive reading format, we encourage you not only to read the words, but listen to what Mary's saying about who God is to her. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. May God add his blessings to your life in the reading of his holy, his inspired word. You may be seated. As we journey through the Gospel of Luke, and it looks like it's going to take us most of this year, so put a bookmark in your Bible, and every Sunday you can open up to the same spot. We'll just keep on chewing away into this great morsel of God's Word. Luke, as I see him writing, he really, I believe, because he was a physician, had a deep concern for the people that he was writing about. He had spent time, as we read in the very beginning of Luke chapter 1, carefully investigating everything and writing down the historical events as were told to him so that we would know with certainty the things that we have been taught. We would apply them and understand them. However, as we already have observed, Luke does more than just give us names and dates, which is typically what we think about in history, right? In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, right? We got that down. We got that down. We know Columbus. We know 1492. We know what he did, and that's as far as we get. But Luke goes deeper into the very emotion of the people that he's writing about. He puts flesh on the skeleton, and he puts feeling into the flesh as he records his history, because he was a physician and he truly, I believe, cared for people. Luke tells about the emotion of Zechariah when he was told, "Your wife will have a son in your old age, and you will call him John." You see, age of Zechariah was a big thing to a physician. He might not have been that concerned for Zechariah, but he knew the age thing would have a very significant impact on Elizabeth. He knew that pregnancy for an older woman, and maybe even as high as 50 or 60 years old, would have been very dangerous physically. Most likely bed rest would be needed for this mother-to-be. Physical labor, and be reminded everything back then was physical labor, would be impossible for her to do. And Elizabeth had a husband who was a priest, and twice a year he had to travel to Jerusalem to do his work. And so I believe Luke had a genuine care for Elizabeth as he was recording this history. And so we have his concern running through the background of Luke chapter 1. And then he presents the simple faith of Mary. This young lady, perhaps in her young teens, "You will be with child, and you will call his name Jesus." The fact that Mary was a virgin was a big deal to Luke, the physician, for he mentions it three times in chapter 1. And Luke knew the emotional dilemma that Mary would find herself in. Not only the dilemma that Mary would find herself in, but the dilemma that Mary's family would find themselves in. Because according to Deuteronomy 22, in the Old Testament, the penalty for an unwed woman to become pregnant without telling the identity of the father was death. And so in all reality, when God, through Gabriel, told Mary that she was going to conceive and have a baby, it was a death sentence under the law. And I'm sure she was scared to death because of that. I think Luke understood Mary's dilemma. He empathized with her. And I believe perhaps Luke was even heartbroken for the reality of Mary's situation, because he knew that people would not understand. Yeah, right. You're a virgin. So we have two women, one older and pregnant by God's answering the prayer of her and her husband Zechariah, facing the risk of age, and the other pregnant by the Holy Spirit overshadowing her, still a virgin, yet facing the risk of people discovering the fact of her pregnancy and not believing the miracle, and perhaps even putting into practice the harshness of the law. As I began reading through Luke chapter 1 on Monday night and Tuesday morning, I began to see two women in crises. Two women facing situations that were beyond their control. Two women that were facing something within the will of God, but within their own physical uncertainties of how they were going to endure and get through the situations they found themselves in. And so as we take a look at these passage, we realize that Gabriel had told Mary, back up in verse 36, that your relative Elizabeth is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be born to her, is in her sixth month. 6 months. 6 months since Zechariah was told that your wife is going to have a baby. Significant because the priests would go to Jerusalem twice a year to do their priestly duties. And so now Elizabeth was alone, going into the last trimester of her pregnancy. And so Mary got ready, it says in 39, and she hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea. And I'm not certain if she was running to see Elizabeth or running to get away from her family and the legalistic people around where she was living because of the penalty of the law. Running to a place perhaps where nobody would know her, running to the security of a relative. And she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. It says in verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm thinking this was more than just a kick. When Bethany was pregnant with Claire, she was sitting on the sofa and Jackson was sitting near her, and Claire kicked. And Bethany said, "Come here, Jackson. Feel this." Ooh. I still don't think he understood what was going on. But this was a leap, because John in the womb felt the presence of Christ in the womb. And Elizabeth, it says, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is a key phrase, because being filled with the Holy Spirit gave insight to Elizabeth to know how she should talk to Mary as Mary faced the uncertainty of her condition. And as I began reading through this chapter, I began to see Elizabeth acting as a true friend to Mary. And there's four things I want to point out in her conversation to Mary, which I believe are very significant. And I have to be honest with you, every other time I've preached through this passage and studied this passage, I never looked at it on the emotional level. I looked at it as two spiritual and godly women that had everything under control, and they just said the right things. But I believe Elizabeth and Mary are really no different than you and me. We walk with God by faith, and sometimes we don't know where our next foot is going to land. And Elizabeth comes alongside this teenage pregnant woman and truly encourages her. Let's take a look at what she says. I'm going to give you my point first, and then we'll read the statement of Elizabeth so you can see it as you read it. First, I see Elizabeth as a friend who is accepting. She's not judgmental. She says in verse 42, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." Elizabeth looked at this young girl, and she was in crises. But she looked right past the legalism of the law. Isn't that beautiful? She didn't say to Mary, "You know, you should be stoned." She didn't judge. She accepted her. She looked right past the obvious questions. Right? How was she able to do that? I believe by what we read back up in verse 41. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth was under the Spirit's control, and the Spirit gave her the wisdom to know how to talk to this young woman in crisis. Elizabeth then acted as a friend who was humble, and she made Mary feel important. I've talked to some teenagers who had become pregnant, and I can tell you they don't feel important. I can tell you they felt shame. And if they could do things over again, they would have made different decisions. And I know Mary's pregnancy is completely different, but the stigma of society would have been the very same and even worse in her day. But Elizabeth says, "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" What Elizabeth was saying is, "Mary, you are so special to me. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here." For a year when I was at Dallas Seminary, I worshiped at First Baptist Church in Dallas and attended a great class. It was a Sunday school class that was made up of medical and dental students, and I was a seminary student, and so I wasn't even in their class. I mean, I was just saying, "You're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a dentist, and I'm going to be a pastor." And as I gathered there, I went there because I had a friend that was teaching the class, and as I encountered that environment at the First Baptist Church in Dallas, different people that I encountered there would talk about going in and seeing Dr. Criswell, the pastor of the church. And many of you perhaps remember him when he was pastor of that church, a very godly man, a very loving man. And several people told me this about Dr. Criswell, that if you were to go into his office and talk to him about anything, when you left, he made you feel like the most important person in the world. Special. He was the pastor of the biggest Baptist church, perhaps the biggest church in our country. There was a football player when I was there for the Dallas Cowboys, Concepcion or something like that. Remember that guy that cooked? They kicked field goals back then, back in the late 70s, early 80s. He was welcomed into the church one Sunday as a 20,000th member of the church. And so the pastor of a church that large, if you would go into his office and talk to him, no matter who you were, you would leave feeling like you're the most important person in the world. And that's how Mary felt in the presence of Elizabeth. A friend is also spiritually discerning. They see you through God's eyes. We read in verse 44, "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Your voice caused my baby to leap." Elizabeth did not just see Mary, but from this and the previous verse, she saw Mary as the mother of the Lord. She saw Mary through the eyes of God. She did not see Mary through the eyes of man. And that made a significant difference. And then a friend is also spiritually encouraging. They give you hope. Elizabeth says to Mary in verse 45, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord has said to her, what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Mary, you are blessed because you believed. I'm living with a guy now for 6 months who didn't believe and he hasn't said a word. Right? Which may have been a good thing, because living with a 60-year-old pregnant woman, sometimes men might say the wrong thing, right? So it may have been a blessing. But Elizabeth recognized Mary and was spiritually encouraging to her. Elizabeth was a true, and I mean a true friend. But you know, you and I also have a true friend. And as we sing this next hymn, let the words help you begin to see Jesus Christ as your friend. We'll develop this more in a little bit. But this hymn, I believe, helps us to see that Jesus is truly a friend to sinners. Jesus is truly a strength to those in weakness. Jesus is truly one who helps in our time of sorrow. As we sing this hymn, let us remind ourselves of God's grace in giving to us his Son, the one who made John leap for joy in the womb, and the one who should make us leap for joy in our worship. Let's continue to worship as we sing this together.
Please stand. Jesus was a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole.
Yeah.
saving, helping, keeping, loving is with me to the end. Be seated, please.
We encourage you to take a moment and fill out the bookmark that is in your bulletin. Also, if you'd like to drop your RSVP for the anniversary in the offering plate, too, that is a way you can communicate your ability to attend on April 7th to us. Let's thank our Lord for these gifts. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that you give us to worship you. We come today to give our tithe. We give our offering not to the church, but as a worship, Lord, to you. We thank you, Lord, that through these gifts, your church can grow and minister and serve. We pray, Lord, that you will bless those who give to you out of their worship this morning. And pray, Lord, that you will enable us to use every gift to your honor and to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we look at the next several verses, I think it would be good for us to, again, consider how this emotional encouragement was received by Mary. I am thinking that in her mind she was wondering, how will Elizabeth receive me? What should I do? People are going to look at me and look at me as a social outcast. I could be rejected by everyone I know. There were some who were in Mary's condition, and their father would actually take them out of the country where they would have to live the rest of their lives. Is it safe to go to the home of Zechariah? He's a priest, and he would know Deuteronomy 22. I'm afraid to go home. I'm afraid to go anywhere. And then Mary heard the wonderful encouragement of Elizabeth. And she breaks out in song to God. Mary's response to Elizabeth was first, glorify the Lord. Glorify the Lord. Look at what he's doing. Because he sees the value in the humble. Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. I am humble, and he's the one who has lifted me up. She also says that God's blessings are obvious to all. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. I think when Elizabeth recognized her situation and accepted her situation as truly an act of God without Mary having to say anything to her. She realized God was going to provide protection and fulfill the words that Gabriel had said to her. And then she begins to list several blessings that are available to every single person that fears God. Every single person that's here this morning. For she says, his mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, and we could say to generation to generation to generation until we hit this generation. Right? And she says in verse 51 that God performs mighty deeds without any difficulty. The mighty deeds are easy to him. And that, I believe, is the significance of Genesis 1. When God spoke, creation happened. I would like to speak and my lawn be mowed. I would like to speak and my kids behave. I would like to speak and somebody listen, but God just had to speak, and the mightiest thing ever, creation, took place. In verse 51, God scatters the proud because he knows their inmost thoughts. We can't hide from God. If we become prideful, then we're not humble. And God is the one who lifts the humble. He humbles the rulers, it says in verse 52, but he lifts up the humble. In verse 53, God provides for the hungry. And I like the way it says it in verse 53, he has filled the hungry with good things, but he sent the rich away empty. And you get the picture of that? The people that have nothing are filled up. And the people that come with their bags of money and say, God, let me pay for these blessings. He says, your money's not good here. Go away. Go away. God is helpful and merciful in verse 54. In verse 55, he fulfills every single promise. You see, Mary realized for the first time, and I think it's because of the way her friend, her relative Elizabeth, welcomed her and accepted her. She realized for the very first time, perhaps, in her young life, how glorious and great God is in the midst of her most challenging time in her life. And she says, I praise God and you praise God with me. Let's take a few moments now to humble ourselves before our Lord in prayer. And then we're going to take some time to see how all this can make a difference in how we live as friends in our families, in our church, in our world. I encourage you to keep Dorothy Prentice in your prayer. She was doing well, but then she fell on Thursday, and that kind of put her back a little bit in her rehab. And so we encourage you to keep her in your prayers. It's good to have Rich's mom, Christy, here with us down from Michigan. This is a great time not to be in Michigan if you want this sunshine, warm weather. But good to have you here with us this weekend. Let's take a few moments now and turn to our Lord and just allow him to connect with us as we connect with him. If you're carrying today something that's a burden, I invite you and encourage you just to give it to him. He loves you. He knows already you have a burden. You're not going to surprise him. But he wants us to find strength and healing and encouragement from him. Let's talk to our Lord right now. Almighty God, as we gather here this morning, we are truly humbled by how you treat us. We're humble that in spite of our sin and errors and lack of judgment and problems that we face in this world, you still love us. We're humbled by the fact that you not only love us, but you act out that love in so many wonderful ways. We thank you, Lord, that Elizabeth showed your love to Mary. Her words of encouragement gave Mary reason to praise you. May we act that way in the lives of each other. As we gather here this morning, Lord, we realize that there are some that we know and love in a significant way that are facing difficulties and challenges, times of uncertainty. We pray, Lord, for Dorothy, that you will encourage her. We know, I'm sure, that she's so discouraged because she fell. We pray, Lord, that you will allow her body to mend and the healing to go smoothly, that you will, in a very special way, pour out your grace in her life so that she is richly and wonderfully encouraged. We pray the same, Lord, for my mom. We pray, Lord, that you will encourage her, that you will heal her each day, Lord, give her more and more strength, and just pour out your grace in her, and we pray, Lord, that you will fill this day with good things. We pray, Lord, for one another today. We thank you, Lord, that you have placed each of us in each other's lives for a reason. We thank you, Lord, for how you can use us to represent you in each other's lives. We pray, Lord, for your work around this world. We thank you for the missionaries that have been sent out. We pray, Lord, that you will powerfully work through them, encourage them, provide for them the resources they need to do your work, allow them to know that they are not abandoned or forgotten. We pray for our nation today. We thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy in this land, but we also pray, Lord, for a spiritual revival. Work in your church, Lord, to draw people to yourself. Work through your church, Lord, to present the gospel in a way that people are drawn to you in a magnificent and wonderful way. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that you give us to worship you today. And we pray, Lord, that as we continue to come before you, we realize that at any time we can come and tell you what we're thinking, what we're feeling, and we know, Lord, that you care. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear the burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help. Jesus alone.
Okay, now for the rest of the story. I think I can do it in 45 minutes. I'm glad you laughed. It says at the end of this passage, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months. And then returned home. Again, in previous times I read that, Luke's just giving a history, right? She stayed for 3 months. But then I realized in reading that, and I surprised I never realized it before, she arrived at Elizabeth's home in the 6th month of her pregnancy, and she stayed for 3 months, which adds up to 9 months, and duh, that's when the baby's going to be born. You see, what God did is he provided help for Elizabeth during the last trimester of her pregnancy. When she couldn't get up and go out and grind the flour and knead the dough and make the daily loaf of bread. When she couldn't go out and do whatever it is that women did back then to provide for their family and for their household. Mary was there. And because Elizabeth treated her as a friend, it allowed Mary to understand what friendship was all about. And Mary became a true friend. If you're filling in the bulletin, that's what goes on those two blanks. And that's where I was going to end the sermon. But there's so much more in this. I used to put blanks in my bulletin sermon outlines all the time when I first started preaching. And then after the service, I would have to answer the question 4 or 5 times, what went in this blank? And so instead of getting people lost by filling in the blanks, I just filled in the blanks. But here we see Mary as a true friend. Why was she a true friend? Why did she stay for 3 months? Why did she invest her life in Elizabeth? And I believe it was because Elizabeth accepted her as a friend. She was not judgmental. She was humble. She made Mary feel important. She was spiritually discerning. She saw Mary through God's eyes. She was spiritually encouraging. She gave Mary hope. And so why would Mary want to leave that environment to go out into a society that would want to kill her because of her condition? To go back and talk to Joseph, who we read in Matthew before Gabriel told him what was going on. He thought about just putting her away, which might be a nice way of saying turning her over to the elders at the gate of the city and let them do what Deuteronomy said should be done. But Elizabeth was a friend, and Mary became a friend. And so you may say, that's what I need. I need a friend like that. And if you're thinking that right now, that's great. However, that's still not the application of this passage. That's still not what I want you to take away from this sermon. The application is not, I need a friend like that. The application is, I want to be a friend like that. And that is what I think Luke is communicating in this first chapter to help us see that the gospel is not the law. The law says, kill Mary. The gospel says, accept. Make them feel important. See them through God's eyes. Give them hope. That's the gospel. And so it's within the first chapter that Luke tells us not what to do, which is the law. The law tells you what to do, right? In the Old Testament, we're told what to do. But Luke is telling us who to be. And that is a difference. And I think as we go through the entire New Testament, the whole message of the New Testament isn't focusing on what we do, but it's focusing on who we are and who Christ wants us to become. And so this is the first to be in Luke. I want you to be a friend. And we'll pick up other to be's as we work our way through this gospel. And so when you become a friend like that, you actually are becoming Christ-like. Because Jesus Christ is accepting. Jesus Christ is not judgmental. He does not treat you with the law. He treats us with grace. He says, come to me, all you who are weak and weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus Christ is humble. He humbled himself. Coming to earth, he makes us feel important. He says, I came to earth for you. Jesus Christ is spiritually discerning. He sees you through God's eyes, which actually are also his eyes. He knows you and he knows who he wants you to become. And Jesus Christ also gives us hope, doesn't he? He's spiritually encouraging. So I'm left with this question. How does Jesus Christ demonstrate his acceptance, his humility, his spiritual discernment, and his spiritual encouragement today in this world? How does he do it? From this passage, I know the answer. Jesus Christ demonstrates his acceptance, his humility, his spiritual discernment, and his spiritual encouragement through you. Because you today are the body of Christ. You today are how people see Jesus Christ. You today are the church. Through the church, Jesus Christ, the one who bestows his grace, not the law, is reaching out to this world to draw a people to himself. And that is why he calls us to be a friend, because he is a friend. He is a friend. And that's the only way he can demonstrate his love in this earth today is through you. Oh, he can make us feel good, and we can get alone with him, or we can have a Bible study and be encouraged, but we can't be hugged by faith. We can't be loved in a personal way by faith, but we can be hugged by someone who knows us and loves us and cares for us and accepts us and encourages us and sees us through the eyes of God. And so I want you to hear where God left me this morning around 7:30 as I finished just looking at the significance of this passage. I want you to know today that for me, as your pastor, as your friend, I accept you. I accept you. And I will treat you with grace. Because that's how Jesus treats me. You are important. And I will build you up. I will see you through the eyes of God's grace and love and mercy. I will encourage you. I want to be your friend. But you know what? I need you to be my friend. I want you and I need you to treat me with grace. I want you to build me up. I want you to see me through the eyes of God. I want you to encourage me. But that's not where it ends either. Because Jesus Christ calls us to be friends to one another. Take a moment to take your eyes off of me and just look around the congregation. I want you to see your friends. I want you to see the people that God has placed on in your life, and I want you to say, I'm going to treat that person with grace. I'm going to build them up. I'm going to see them through God's eyes. I'm going to encourage them. And as we do that, the body begins to grow and love, and we see God's grace in action. But the reality is, we can't do that. You and I don't have the ability to be accepting, to be humble, to see people through God's eyes, to be encouraging, because we're selfish and we're self-centered in and of ourselves. But think back, how was Elizabeth able to do it? She was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's only through God working through us that we can be a friend to each other. And it's my prayer, as we conclude this service, that we will give ourselves completely and totally to God and ask God to come into our life and allow His Spirit to take over our life and to commit ourselves to being friends. That's why I asked Don to play the theme song to Cheers during the offering. Because in a bar, if everyone can know your name, certainly we can do it in the church.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
My friends, stand with me as we close our service in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you, Lord, for revealing to us how we can live in relationship with one another under the umbrella of your love and your grace. We do pray, Lord, that your Spirit might fill us and use us, and when we encounter anybody in our path, Lord, then they see us that they will see you. We pray, Lord, that you will give us the ability to be people that demonstrate your grace, people, Lord, that see others through your eyes, people that are encouraging, people that are ones that give hope. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, your love, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kings.